another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, May the 24th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. I thank you for being with me as we continue to break open God's word together. That is really, gosh, it's the best thing. It's the best thing. And as I mentioned last week, we are finished with Pentecost, right? With the Easter season. 50 days, we've celebrated the risen Christ among us in various ways, by the way. And so this week, Monday anyway, the weekdays, we've entered into ordinary time. But this weekend and next weekend, we celebrate two feast days. This weekend, we celebrate the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. Now, I'm going to read you the first reading and the gospel, per usual, and I am hoping that you are not expecting me to unravel the mystery of the Trinity for you. That is a mystery which is beyond us. But it does, brothers and sisters, invite us into celebrating its reality. And I hope at least to point a little bit toward that reality present in your life right now, today, and in my life, and in the reality of the world. So, what are the readings we're going to hear today? First reading is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 to 34, and then verse 39 to 40. And then we are going to go to the gospel, which we're going to hear that very famous gospel out of the end of Matthew's gospel, the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. It's the way that Matthew ends his gospel. All right. So however it is, my friends, that you prepare yourself to hear well, to grasp, to take in, to absorb, to chew on the gospel, however you receive it, I invite you to do that at this time in order to prepare yourself to hear this word, okay? A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Ask now of the days of old, before your time, ever since God created man upon the earth. Ask from one end of the sky to the other. Did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire, as you did, and live? Or did any god venture to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, with strong hand and outstretched arm, and by great terrors, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? This is why you must now know and fix in your heart that the Lord is God in the heavens above and on the earth below, and that there is no other. You must keep God's statutes and commandments that I enjoin on you today, that you and your children after you may prosper, and that you may have long life on the land which the Lord your God is giving you forever." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, my friends, as always, if there was something you heard in there, perhaps for the first time, a phrase, an image, an idea that captured you, let the Spirit of God speak to you right now, right here, today, celebrating its reality in this moment in your life, okay? Now let's break open the gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So the Feast of the Trinity, right? Easy to understand why the gospel was selected. It's that great Trinitarian formula. It's the formula in which you and I were baptized, whether that was last week or whether it was, you know, when we were 3 weeks old, years and years ago, that we were baptized with the words that Jesus gave right here, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to get into, did Jesus really say it right there and put forth the Trinitarian formula right there in front of God and everybody so they all knew it from the very beginning? I suspect the early church grappled with that a great deal until, you know, the time when Matthew's gospel was written, say, 60-ish years, 50 to 60 years after Jesus ascended, the resurrection, the ascension. And they're trying to understand the presence of God still with them and among them. And perhaps put these words into the mouth of Jesus. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that the early church, as early as the first century, is proclaiming this essence, this mystery, this idea that God has been, that God is, that God always will be. Because that's really what we celebrate today. Brothers and sisters, as much as you and I may try to put our minds around this concept, we're not going to get there. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Mystery doesn't say, well, just, you know, offer it up. We're never going to understand it. It's just, you know, somebody else told us about it, so that's fine. We'll just repeat it. No, no. In fact, I invite you, I urge you to question it. I urge you to mine its depths, to take us further. I urge you to struggle and grapple and figure it out on your, not on your own, but for you in this moment. That's good. But just know, brothers and sisters, it is going to be beyond our human mind, because the mystery of God is always beyond that which we can fathom. Because the minute we can fathom it, I think we're not talking about God anymore. We're talking about a God created in our image. So, what do we want to talk about? I guess, brothers and sisters, the only point I want to make, and I'll go back to the first reading and use some of its essence and some of what they're saying here in the gospel. I love this line where it says, when they saw him, meaning when the disciples saw Jesus, they worshiped, but they doubted. Yeah. Isn't it? Listen, they're seeing Jesus right in front of them. You and I mean, yeah, we know the end of the story, but we haven't seen him, not like them. And they're doubting. It might be okay for us not to fully understand and grasp it either, but yet that doesn't stop them from moving forward, nor should it stop us. That we don't understand and mind the depths of the Holy Trinity, that's okay. That's okay. Because we'll stand upon the shoulders of those who came before us, and the generations after us will stand upon ours. And that's marvelous. And we can have questions, and that's good. But here's what we know. We know that either Jesus, in his own words, or the mouth of the early church, put in the mouth of Jesus, that this is their understanding of who God was. As best I will wrap my head around this, is it reflects a God who has been from the very beginning, a God who is creator, a God who is, as the first reading pointed us to, right? A God who is on the side of the oppressed, not the oppressor. A God who is about freedom. A God who hears the cry of the poor and doesn't stay distant. A God who invites us to come forward, as in the burning bush to Moses, or the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. and uses signs and language that we can understand to invite us in to a reality that is beyond us, but a God who does not stay distant, so much so that God would become one of us in order that we may not just see and hear, but we may be invited into to understanding and seeing what the reality of the kingdom life and God's kingdom and God's attitude and God's vision is by the vision and attitude of the one who was the God-man. And when this God-man left us and gave us that great commission to go baptize in this formula and make disciples of all nations, his last words, the very last words of the gospel of the community of Matthew, Antioch, is, "And behold, I am with you always." Not, "I'm with you, you know, for another week, so I hope you get it." Not, "I'm with you for 40 days. I'm with you always until the end of the age." A God who was there before we heard the invitation, even though God may have been inviting us. A God who was there from the foundations of the world. A God who is inviting us. A God who speaks to us. A God who frees us. A God who calms us. A God who grounds us. And a God who points us. And a God who walks beside us. Brothers and sisters, I mean, that's it, isn't it? This God who we are never out of the sight and mind and heart of God. Not then, not today, not ever. A God whose very creation was out of love for the delight we would take in it. You know, there's a line in a Rich Mullins song, and I don't even remember the name of it. It's off the Jesus album. It's the last song. If you're not familiar with Rich Mullins, become familiar. His later stuff, last 10 years, every one of them was a flipping home run, because he was real, and he said it like it was. But there's a line in one of his songs, again, the last song in the Jesus album, that says, I'm going to screw it up. I'm not even going to say it well. Nobody tells you when you get born here how much you'll come to love it and how you'll never belong here. Oh, I love that line. You know, there are those who say, the earth is, you know, wicked and I can't wait to get to heaven and you know, this stuff of earth is awful and you know, no, brothers and sisters, that's not a Catholic thought. Now, the ways of the world, as opposed to the kingdom of God, the ways of God, yeah, that's what we're going to keep at arm's length. That's what we're going to challenge. That's injustice. But the beauty of the earth, the beauty of creation, the goodness of creation, no, it is there for our delight because of God's love for us. This God who created with you in mind to say, "Have you ever looked at the color green and just marveled at it?" You know? Or the song of a bird? You know, I'm a nerd. I bought Oriole bird feeders, you know, like a week and a half ago, and I'm putting jam on and just watching the Orioles come. And how beautiful they are. I mean, they're there so we can delight in them. Because that's how much God delights in you and me, this creator. Joe, what are you talking about? Okay, I was just talking. All right. So here's the image I love from the first reading. I mean, it's so good. So this is Moses. Deuteronomy is basically Moses getting everybody together and retelling the story. It's what Deuteronomy means, a second telling. And he's saying, you're going to go into the land with Joshua, you know, tomorrow. But before you go, let's remember who we are. Let's remember who God is. Let's remember what God has done on our behalf. And take that with you where you go. And I love that image, brothers and sisters, because I think that's what Trinity Sunday invites us into. To remember not to mine the depths of what the Trinity is, but to remember, who are you? To remember who God is. To remember the ways that God has and continues to lead you and love you and delight you in you and walk beside you, right? To remember, because tomorrow, where we go into this new land, we're going to need to take that with us. And, you know, I love how he says, listen, did anything so great ever happen before? You know, did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire as you did and live? I love that image, not only from the image of fire, you know, but from the burning bush. You know, and think about that story, right? So Moses is just, he's just tending sheep, right? I'm on Horeb. And he sees a bush that's burning. Again, it's God's invitation. God's invitation. And when he comes there, what does he say? He says, Moses, take off your sandals, for the ground on which you stand is holy. Now, maybe this is just a Joeism, and that's okay. Throw this out if this is doesn't make sense to you. But to me, I think if God is there and the ground on which you stand is holy, I'm going to want to keep my sandals on because I'm not worthy to stand on that ground. But God says, no. God says, take off anything that is substitute. You too are holy, and you must stand on that ground. Your feet must be touching the very essence of the holiness and sacredness of this place. Commune with it, because I'm communing with you. God doesn't want us to be separate. God has never wanted to be separate. This image that we must put up, you know, communion railings and be separate from the holy. Brothers and sisters, that does not come from Scripture. I'm going to tell you that right now. Right? Goodness sakes, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, keeping the Holy of Holies from the outer temple, the outer court, meaning there is no separation. The sacred is all around us, and God desires to be in our presence. Thanks be to God. And he will use whatever means necessary to communicate with us, a burning bush and the language we understand. And what does he do with that? He invites, he's like, I've heard the cry of the poor. He hears you. He has heard you. He will hear you. He makes a way in the wilderness that nobody could have imagined. Sets free from the might of Egypt, the might of the world. And in when they come upon the inescapable, they can't cross water. He makes a way through the Red Sea, the Reed Sea, right? On dry land. And when they can't know the way, he moves them forward with a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud. Or a way around Jericho. I mean, we could keep going, right? This is the God whose very idea is to create for delight, hears and desires our freedom, and desires us to listen and be close and take part in the holy. A God who when God comes here, gosh, I think of, you know, this idea of three in one, you know, and how can we understand that there's one God, but you have three. I don't get it. But I know that God desired to be so close to us and us to love that God became one of us. That makes perfect sense to me. On our best days, brothers, you who are married, on our best, and even days is exaggerating, on our best moments, perhaps it's only for a fleeting moment within a day, that we're one with our spouse when we just know what they're thinking and they know what we're thinking. And we're laughing in the same way and our vision is the same and we're standing on the same ground and it's like we're the same person. That's how God is all the time. All the time. And I guess what I'm inviting us to, well, I won't jump there yet. This God, if we believe Jesus was God, I mean, if we're going to believe in the Trinity and that Jesus and God were that close and that one all the time, then we don't have to be afraid of God anymore, brothers and sisters. We don't. Because this is the one who said, and I'll just use a couple examples. when a leper comes up to him, he says, the leper says, the one who must remain at a distance, right? Says, Lord, if you will it, you can make me clean. And what does the God man say? What does the creator of the universe say? I do will it. I do will it. Be made clean. One, I don't want you to stay distant. And two, I want you to be made clean and whole. Or when we are caught in our sin and we're thrust before God and others want to accuse us, he's the one who looks at us and says, yeah, let the one without sin cast the first stone. And we look at him and say, where's everybody gone? And he says, you know, neither do I condemn you, right? They wanted to condemn. He says, I don't condemn you. Go, go. And live in this new place, this new idea, this new understanding. I do not condemn. Or the one who is just walking around and comes upon a widow who lost her only son and has no means and literally goes up and raises the son so the woman not only can have means and not only, you know, have a name, but isn't going to be alone. I don't know what our needs are, yours and mine right now, but I know that God hears them. And I know that God does not remain distant, which leads us to that last image, that idea that Jesus says in the last line of Matthew's gospel, behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. That God who stays with us now. And I guess here's the lasting image I invite you to. This idea of Trinity, don't let anybody shape it for you in the sense that say, this is it, and if you don't believe this, you're out. And that includes me, by the way. Trust your own experience of God, because God doesn't remain distant. Okay? However it is that you experience God, and you do, whether that is in someone loving you when maybe you're not so lovable, or forgiving you when maybe we don't deserve that forgiveness, or maybe you have forgiven others when they don't deserve it. That moment, that's grace. That's God. That's the presence. That's the experience. Or when you're sitting in silence, and I don't mean silence thinking about, you know, what you want to do that day or whatever it is, but I mean silence and just let God speak to your heart. You know, how often is it the prophets say, I'm going to, you know, gosh, was it Hosea? You know, I'm going to take you as the people of Israel out into the desert where I can speak to your heart. Just go out into a desert place. And let God just speak to your heart and speak to your mind and speak to your being. And trust that is the God that is present today, because they understood that too. And they tried to put words around it. And that's where the image and the idea of the Spirit came. That God is the one who created, the God who is the one who walked among us, but it's the God who continues to be with us today in ways that are inexplicable to us. But that God does not leave us distant. I guess what I'd like to say is trust your experience. And let that experience of God remind you of who God is, because we need to remember who God is. For whatever God has for us and wherever we're going tomorrow, like Moses said, we need to take this with us, because that gives us the strength to endure whatever the tomorrows have for you and I. The God who has delighted and not wanted to remain distant from you and I is here. And we celebrate that reality in our lives today. Let's pray. So we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of Mary. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, bless you. Thank you for being with me to break open God's word today. May you be enraptured by the presence of our God in your life today. Be well.